Welcome to the Experts Speak English podcast. Together, we'll discover how to talk yourself into an international career without the bullshit. Every business conversation that you have takes you closer to or further away from your goal. So this show is about getting both informal and formal conversations right. Whether that's a confidential personal chat with a key player on your team or on the stage in front of hundreds of industry experts. What you say and how you say it counts. And if leadership is your goal, then being able to influence people will accelerate the process. At the end of each episode, I give you an opportunity to try out what you have just learned on the show. Perhaps you'll be brave enough to rise to Coco's Communication Challenge. You'll get to try out one of the tools, techniques, or tips at work, because listening about leadership and leading are not the same thing, honey. I'm Corin Wilhelm. I'm a corporate communication coach with almost 25 years of experience of helping leaders to secure the career that someone with their knowledge and experience deserves through intentional communication, intercultural awareness, and the confidence to really show up as the English speaking expert. So let's get cracking, shall we? Hello and a warm welcome to Experts Speak English. Today we're talking about something that affects every single one of us. Are you a CEO that will be giving a speech at the Christmas party? Have you already started making notes about what to include? And did you leave the speech the last minute last year and now you're dreading the Christmas party? Well, that's no good. Christmas parties should be fun, and they are a wonderful opportunity to connect with most of your amazing employees, even those remote ones who tend to feel neglected and forgotten about. So let's inspire those who are thinking of updating their CV over the Christmas break to stay for the sizzle and be a part of something amazing. Okay, great. So no doubt you will have noticed that the trees are turning golden, winter warming scarves and gloves have been found, and the Christmas goodies are luring us into temptation, even though we haven't even had Halloween yet. So that also means that someone in your office is busy planning your Christmas party. Menus, timelines, perhaps a fun game or activity. But I wonder, when the CEO is planning to write his speech, perhaps there's no plan at all and they're going to wing it. Well, today's guest, a speechwriting friend of mine, knows only too well that most CEOs leave this to the night before. Not good, right? So then it's a mad dash with a speechwriter or a word-savvy colleague to come up with something short, impactful, and hopefully with just the right amount of humour to make a good impression and get a few laughs whilst you have their attention. Because let's face it, in this format, with most of the employees in one place, you only get this opportunity once or twice a year. Hi, Matthias, let me introduce you and then crack on. I have some juicy questions for you. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Go ahead.
Okay, so Matthias Müller-Kray is a lawyer by training, but a writer at heart. He's worked for 5 years as a chief editor for a specialized magazine before starting his own speechwriting business, which he's now been running for almost 15 years. So he's written and contributed to more than 1,000 speeches. His clients include C-level executives, politicians, founders, lawyers, doctors, athletes, activists, and artists. There's lots of A's in there. And he also teaches courses on the basics of speechwriting, humorous speechwriting, and offers creativity training for speechwriters. He's based in Berlin and Barcelona, so that's something we have in common. I'm based in Berlin and Cambridge. So Matthias, no doubt you get CEOs coming to you with half-finished speeches. What are the first things that you tend to change or talk to them about with these speeches?
I try to not work on half-finished speeches. So usually that is more work than writing the speech itself. So it's especially for an event like a Christmas party speech, there are certain requirements and certain things they can do well. And it's quite easy to write them. So I usually just take their first draft as a collection of information and then build a new speech with them.
Right. So you start from scratch based on what they've given you.
We start from scratch. And even though, or maybe because there's little time, so the quickest way is to build it from the ground up again.
Right. Okay. And how do you start? What does the process look like? If I came to you as a CEO and I'm like, oh my God, it's tomorrow. You know, I finally found a speechwriter. What would then happen?
I think there are three things that you have to consider at the beginning. Number one is, what is your message? I think this applies to every speech, but to Christmas speech as well. And with a Christmas speech, the message is usually, say thanks to your employees, give them appreciation and recognition. That's usually what you want to achieve. And also, you, most CEOs who give a speech at such an event want to motivate them for the challenges of next year.
Okay, and that's great.
That's the first thing that you have to like consider. And the second is like, what are the sections of your speech? And that's with a Christmas speech also usually super easy. It's like you want to have like some funny opener that gets people in the mood of a Christmas party. Then you want to look back on last year, what happens, what went well, what maybe didn't go so well. Then a third part is to say thanks. The fourth part is to look ahead. That's usually the part where you motivate people. And then, of course, you have to remind yourself and your audience that it's not the Christmas strategy meeting, it's the Christmas party. So you want to like, you want to end up on a high note. You want to like open the party and get people in the right frame of mind to actually celebrate.
Yeah, nice. Okay, so that's a fairly simple structure. You know, I think that's good. Okay, so what is it that kind of holds people back? Like, where do they get stuck in this? Is it because they don't like, they feel they have to be funny, but they don't feel that they're very funny? You know, I've had that. Or people are anxious about making mistakes with, you know, I don't know. What do people worry about most when they come to you? Because with me, females come to me and they're worried about, you know, will they be able to project their voice, or, you know, they want to be taken seriously. So they want to be, have some degree of humility, but, you know, they don't want to, you know, look like the cast clown either.
I think there are general considerations that people would have with speeches for any event, which could be the voice, which could be their experience as a speaker, which could be that they're not sure about like how the audience sees them. And then you have particular considerations for a Christmas party. And I think the most difficult thing for many leaders who have to give a speech is such an event, that it's a little bit of shift in their role, because usually you are the leader, you're the numbers person, you're facts driven, and all of a sudden you have this event where you have to be like nice and funny. And for many people, that's a shift that is not easy for them.
Yeah.
Even for those who are maybe, you know, have really good people skills and can be funny, they often think, oh, at the Christmas party, I'm some kind of a comedian. I have to entertain my staff, my employees. And that's also really not the case.
Yeah. I think humor's a fine line, isn't it? You know, how many people think about being humorous is something you're born with, you know, but actually as speechwriters, we know, don't we, that there, you know, there are techniques and rhetorical devices that you can use to be funny. You know, it's not rocket science. Even if you, you know, not known for being particularly funny as a rule. So we want to avoid those really cringeworthy dad jokes, don't we? You know, especially if you've got younger people in the audience, you know, younger members of the team. And yet, you know, we don't want a boring speech either. So yeah, how do you find the right balance, basically?
I think that's rather easy if you know like what the purpose of your speech is, because a comedian goes on stage and his or her only objective is to make people laugh.
And they're supposed to be laughing like most of the time, right?
But that's the whole point. It's entertainment. And sometimes they have a message there, but it's not like if a comedian wants to like bring across a magic message, he stops being a comedian. And it's the same with the CEO. The humor is just a rhetorical device to bring across the message, which is basically it's appreciation. And usually the CEO is like in a position high above you where he or she can give orders, where he or she can tell you what the situation of the company is and all sorts of things. And here the CEO says, you know, I'm going to make an effort today to entertain you guys, to be the MC, to be the entertainer. And it's a different position, but the message is still telling people, oh, you're doing a good job for this company. And that should never be forgotten in this context, that there is still a message that's coming from the CEO, from the leader, to the people who work for the company.
Yeah. I was reading a book recently, actually, called How to Write a Funny Speech by Carol Burnett. And she talked about how, you know, at a wedding, there should be a mix, for example, of, you know, upbeat stuff and funny and stuff. But it's also good to be a little bit, to take it down a notch and say something beautiful to the bride and groom. And I think it's the same with a speech going out to your employees. I mean, you know, it's not a wedding, but, you know, these are the people that are bringing you profit every day. You know, these people are important. So I think it's important to have a mix of being funny, but also, you know, really grateful, really thankful, really kind of, you know, I'm here for you. You know, I think that's a difficult balance, isn't it?
Yeah, you asked for the right balance. And I think with every speech, it's really important. You imagine it's like it's a Christmas party. People are going to maybe play games. They're going to talk about a lot of things. They might have a drink or two or three or four. They might, you know, they might be dancing and everything. And then the speech of the CEO is just a small part of it. And so what should people remember the next day with all these impressions running through their head? What did our boss say? Or what do you remember? And they should not remember, oh, our boss is a funny guy, right? They should remember, oh, he really appreciates our work. It's particularly this or that thing. I think that's what should come across, and that the speaker or the speech writer should always keep in mind when preparing the speech.
Okay, then, Matthias, so say, for example, if there's been some bad news, right? So what kind of funny joke or remark or anecdote could you say about something like that? Like, I don't know, if the share price has plummeted and my, you know, I've lost loads of money, what are you going to say then?
I think this is a part, if something is actually serious and people are worried about it. So my idea about, like, I don't remember who said it. Comedy is tragedy plus time.
Mm.
And this also means if there's no time, then there's no comedy. So people can't laugh about things that are tragic, that they don't have enough distance.
Right.
So whatever is actually not funny, especially in a speech like that, I wouldn't make jokes about it. But you could still, like we said before, like many people don't really want, some people don't want to be at the Christmas party. Others don't want to be at the Christmas party, but they don't want to hear the boss's speech. And it might also be that everyone knows that the boss is not the best speaker. So these are all things. For example, I always say don't use like well-known phrases like many people start, oh, we have gathered here today to.
Oh, yeah. So cliche. Yeah.
And I'm happy so many of you were able to join. That's.
Yeah. They should just jump in, right?
But if you say, oh, I'm so happy so many of you were able to join, and I appreciate especially those who came here, even though they knew I was going to give a speech. You know, then you take your audience seriously and make a joke about your abilities as a speaker.
Yeah.
Or it's like in Germany, we often like at a Christmas party, people often eat geese.
Right.
And we have our annual Christmas party. And as every year, I give a speech and we eat geese. And if you remember, they have always been really good. The geese, I mean, not my speeches.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
These things they can always do if you keep in mind. Always keep in mind, this is the Christmas party. Whatever you're talking about, can you like connect these things together?
But that brings me on to another point, actually, because I think, you know, there are two points here, really. There's practice and intonation. So if you're going to, kind of say your speech as if you're reading it from a piece of paper, in fact, some people might even read it from a piece of paper, then the joke is not going to work, right? A joke needs that timing element that you spoke about. You need to take a pause beforehand or wait for the punchline, or you need to make your voice go up and down. And to do that, you really do need to practice it, right? So if you're doing it the night before, bearing in mind they're probably asleep by the time it's finished and they're doing it in the evening, you know, when are they going to find time to practice, right? So if you're going to get a speechwriter involved, don't waste the money on a speechwriter by not practicing the speech, you know? So you need to, ideally, I would say 3 days in advance would be, for your stress levels, much better. So, and you'll also won't have to pay a surcharge for that last minute service. So, get in touch early, give yourself time to practice the speech, be kind to yourself. You know, you don't want to waste this opportunity. That's what I would say.
Especially because like there are very few opportunities where actually everyone in the company is in direct contact with the executive.
Really? And
this is, I think it's time very well invested.
Absolutely. I think so many companies, like after Corona, they were like, yeah, we can't wait for the Christmas party. We missed the Christmas party and stuff. But actually, a lot of companies are cutting back on that, you know, which I think is ludicrous, really. You know, all these remote workers, you know, who are quietly working in the background and don't really get much cred or time in front of the boss or anything. This is an opportunity to get everyone together, and it should be honored with, you know, attention and, you know, warmth, really. It's the time, you know, to come together.
I mean, I'm a speechwriter. I'm supposed to say this, you know, but I also have, but I also get a feedback from many of my clients who say, yeah, it's worth the time and the money to once per year really thoroughly prepare a good and entertaining speech for the people who work in my company.
Yeah. And I've spoken to CEOs that I work with, and they've said to me, oh my God, Corinne, I gave this speech and I wasn't really prepared and I kind of winged it. I think it was okay. I'm thinking, if you think it was okay, it probably wasn't okay. You know? So, I think if you are in that position, don't, you know, it's like once you have a TEDx talk, once it's up online, you can't take it down. And it's the same with the Christmas speech. Once you've made that speech, you can't undo, but there's no undo button with speeches, right?
And I think it's hard for people in such positions because it's hard for them to get honest feedback, because, I mean, who goes to their boss and says, well, that was really bad, you know? So it's also a good idea to, like, you set preparation. So I usually say start preparing by reading it out loud. Then you will realize you have to maybe adjust one or two sentences. And then you record yourself with your phone, make a video. And once you feel good about that, I mean, if you have the time, you invite one or two people to listen to you. And if you don't have the time, I think it's a really good idea to take that video, send it to your best friend, send it to your spouse, whoever, and ask them for honest feedback, and it will improve the speech.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one tip that I give the people I'm working with is to really kind of, when you've got the script, to really edit that script. So I put in big gaps where there's supposed to be a pause. Where is there a silence? When are you using your hands? When do you point to something? You know, all of this should be involved in your speech so that you don't forget something. And I think this avoids people doing this kind of thing, this kind of takeoff and landing, you know, action, or wringing their hands because they're so nervous or something like that, because you've intentionally thought about what you're going to do with your body. You know, so that's all part of giving the speech. And so using the script to really think about what are you going to do when you're talking is a really good idea. And actually, a friend of mine from Toastmasters told me this trick, Tino Engel, and he says to do a dry run with just walking around in your flat, just telling, you know, just giving the speech, walking around through the rooms, just, you know, just do it. And I do it outside. People think I'm very crazy, but I like to go outside because women need to project our voices more. And so being outdoors, you are forced to, you know, project more. So, yeah, that's my tuppence on scripts and learning.
Yeah, what I offer my clients is that I send them an audio recording where I read the speech for them with all the pauses, with the right timing for the jokes. And then because they're so busy, they can listen to that, I don't know, in the car, on the phone, and have an opportunity. They can even do that like on their way to the Christmas party venue. Yeah. And I think at least they're different. I think different types of learners, but for me, I learn from listening, and this really helps also to learn something by heart.
I also do that, and the people that actually do it, they feel so much more confident when it comes to standing up. It just feels like another run through.
And I think that is also like an investment well made for this particular event. And it's like you said, often companies cut back. But there's also like many companies that spend ridiculous amounts on their Christmas parties, and they have a band and a buffet and I don't know, artists and, you know, all these different entertainment acts, and they spend a lot of money on it. And when it comes to the CEO's speech, they're considering, well, should we really pay, you know, a couple thousand on a good speechwriter? And of course I have to say that, but I think it's really it's a very good investment.
No, it's true. It's a bit like if you go to a really fancy restaurant and then you go to the toilets and they're really shabby, you know. It's like going to a Christmas party without a decent speech. It's a bit of an anticlimax.
I mean, from my perspective, the party should be built around the speech, because that is the main event. That is the company expressing to the employees appreciation for what they did all year, and the center of this should be the speech. And from my point of view, that should be one of the most important parts of the whole event.
Yeah. And one last point before we go, I think one subliminal message you can send when you do your speech is to make sure that you do it on time. Like, is there an agenda? If everyone knows that you're going to do it at 8, do it at 8, because you expect that from your staff. And so it's a good idea to make sure that you arrive the night before, or, you know, don't get the last train, don't leave it to chance. Don't be the one that they're saying, oh, the CEO hasn't arrived yet, we have to postpone that. It just makes a bad impression. So try and avoid subliminal messages like that.
I agree with that.
Right. So over and out. Thank you very much, Matthias. I will tell people exactly where to find you in the show notes. But for now, I think the best way to find you is via LinkedIn. And that is easy. You just go to, so it's Matthias, 2 8, 2 T's and an H. And then it's Müller. This is a U. So I never used to be able to say that, but now I can say it. It's an U, is like an umlaut with two dots. And then it's 2 L's, Müller-Cray with a K. But I will put this in the show notes, don't worry. But connect with Matthias via LinkedIn, and feel free to, you know, hire a speech writer when you need one. Take care and be the best that you can be. Every conversation counts. Goodbye. So now you have the formula. All you have to do for Coco's Communication Challenge is go away and have a go at putting together a Christmas speech. Remember, there are three vital ingredients: personality, humour and humility. So give it a go. And if you need our help, feel free to reach out. Our details are in the show notes. And until next time, have a fabulous week. And remember that every conversation counts. Speak to you soon.